Everyone's asleep. Everyone but me. And I can't help feel like I'm doing this all by myself.
Gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show, broadcasting live from the fabulously fluoridated capital of Auckland, New Zealand, the island chained nation in the sunny slave South Pacific, incidentally ruled by a former Federal Reserve banker by the name of John Key, who was on the board of the Federal Reserve Bank for 2 years in charge of the European bond and derivatives trade. You've got to love how we have so much variance between our countries and the people that back our so-called leaders. Today, we have two very special guests who, for the first time ever, are going to appear on radio together. They've done a DVD together, and this is the first time on radio, so I'd like to welcome them now. We have, firstly, Tom Filer, who is a, well, finance extraordinaire, knows huge quantities about the industry, and we also have the indomitable Pastor Lindsay Williams. So sure today is going to be a good show. Gentlemen, welcome to the program.
Vinny, thank you for the privilege of allowing me on your show tonight. It's been quite a few weeks since I've had the opportunity to be with you.
Yeah, I missed you.
Good and Tom, to hear that accent
from down
under. Yeah. And Tom,
are you on the line there too?
Yes, I am. And thank you for having me. It's a pleasure again to be with you, and certainly even more of a pleasure to have Chaplain Williams on the line as well.
Now, lots have happened since I spoke to both of you last, and I wanted to actually start this show on a bit of a personal note. I don't know how you're gonna react to this, but I wanted to kind of put it anyway. Men of conscience have trouble sleeping, namely because they've got one, even when their conscience is clear. Have you noticed that?
Well, Vinny, I have. I'll speak for myself. In fact, for the past 2 weeks, I have been so sick. There were a few times I thought I was going to die. And not really, honest. I've never been this sick in my life. I'm in my 70s, but I've never been quite that sick. And I contacted one of the most renowned doctors in the world. You know, being on as many radio shows as I am and traveling as I have and been in many countries as I have over the years, I've gotten to know a lot of doctors and lawyers and all the rest, you may name it. There are just a few people I trust explicitly, and I called him the other day, and I said, here are all my symptoms. What do you think, Benny? I am amazed that you would ask a question you just asked, because he said to me, he said, Chaplain, I know how many people are looking to you. And he said, I know how many shows you're doing all the time. He said, could it possibly be that you're taking all of this burden on your shoulders because America's in trouble. And I said, Doctor, I think you're exactly right. I said, I cannot find any disease whatsoever that matches my symptoms. I think every bit of it is the fact that we are in such a mess right now. I think it's gotten to me, Vinny.
Mm. Tom, what do you feel about this?
Yes, I would agree that we really face a lot of perilous events. Right now is a time where a lot of changes are taking place, or they have been taking place over the past 4 or 5 years. And, people really need to kind of reset the way they've been looking at things, understanding events, and they've also got to, change a lot of the ways that they've been doing things as well. And these changes are very, very important to make, both in our personal lives as well as in our investment lives as well. And so I know that we'll have an opportunity to speak more about some of these things during today's show.
Mm. And the second element I wanted to bring into that, I read an interesting quote from Edward Bernays this morning. It says, "The way to a man's heart is through his stomach, but the way into a society's heart is through its women." And I was just thinking about my relationship with Sarah and how I really wouldn't be capable of doing any of these things that I'm doing without her support and backing and things of that nature. And I was wondering, what do you guys have a significant other, a wife, or what have you, that helps you get through all this too?
Penny, I think I probably have the greatest wife on the face of the earth. She is a marvelous Christian. She has been praying for me, reading the Bible to me, helping me for the last 2 or 3 weeks in a very special way. She stands behind me all the way. And you're right. I could not do it. And I agree with what you're saying. And if we didn't have the partners we have, we probably couldn't make it.
So same for you, Tom?
And Vinny, I as well. I have a wonderful wife, as well as two boys, 13 and 14 years old. So, we team up to raise them. And, my wife is a wonderful balance to me. She gives me a lot of perspectives and a lot of advice, which I wouldn't even conceive of coming up with. So I'm blessed with my wife and, of course, my family as well, my two boys.
So now the reason I decided to start the interview with that preface is because people in our position, there's a sort of mystique on commentators and pundits and people that have these intellectual positions in society that are trying to help really advance humanity down a more positive course. And it occurs to me that we're ordinary men who would rather just be living our lives with our families. The problem is we have a higher calling, and there's not much of a choice in what it is that we're doing. And survival is a matter of keeping those things, those very simple, straightforward things that everybody should have in their life, solid, like having a nice partner and getting enough sleep. So without further ado, I wanted to get into this. Have you guys heard about this fiscal cliff?
Yes, fiscal cliff has been very much in the news, very much in the forefront, and I do deal with it quite a bit lately.
Well, because I don't quite understand what it really meant. It just seemed to me to be a massive, scary thing that the media pumped up in front of everybody to freak them out, essentially so they'd forget about everything else. And incidentally, it was happening over the Christmas and holiday season when nobody was following the news.
Well, Benny, let me explain it the way that my elite friend did. Now, you know who he is, and you know that I have one person who's retired, who knows everything that goes on behind closed doors. And just after the election in November, I had so many business friends of mine who were contacting me and say, Lindsay, what do we do? Do we close all businesses? Do we build all businesses? Do we dare invest? Or what is the climate going to be for the next 4 years? They were literally beside themselves. no telling how many phone calls I got saying, please, 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 tell us anything you know. Well, I knew there was one place to get an answer. There always has been for the past 37 years, and that's from the people who behind closed doors plan it. And I did. I made a phone call, and I said, would you please tell me what we can expect for the next 4 years' time? Vinny, I won't be the same person again after what I heard. Over the next probably 3 to 4 days, I received numerous emails from my elitist friend explaining things to me. And it boiled down to this. There are 10 agendas that the American people will be facing over the next 4 years. And if they know what they are, they can save themselves major, major heartache. And after I compiled them all, put them together, and then emailed this friend back and got some more details, and at that point, it took me 3 hours and 29 minutes in front of the video cameras in studio in order to explain the 10 agendas that I'd been given the information about. It was so in-depth, and things that people must know in order to even be able to survive financially and physically and mentally. And yes, I say all of those, mentally and physically also, over these next 4 years, they have 10 agendas, and one of them had to do with the physical cliff. And when I got to it, I realized that the physical cliff was not what they were making it out to be on the news media. The physical cliff was the biggest charade you can ever imagine. It was a marvelous opportunity for the politicians to stand up and get their names in the news. And my elite friend told me what the physical cliff was all about. He said that the physical cliff, he said, Chaplain, is nothing in the world but a method of taxing the middle class into oblivion. I know that sounds strange, and I could have never gotten that from any other place. And then he went on to explain to me why the, now this is a very, very startling statement that I hope everyone out there has a pencil and paper, because I'm really sticking my neck out and risking my reputation. But based on what I heard, the elite do not want a financial collapse yet. Now, that's the euro, the American dollar, no matter what currency in the world it may be, they do not want a financial collapse yet. In fact, I'm going to go so far as to give some time frames. Now, keep in mind that the elite are not God. They just think they are. They don't always get their way. If the elite have their way, they do not want the dollar to have a major problem for at least 2 years, maybe three, but in less than four. And this gives a marvelous opportunity for everybody to know. If they know the 10 agendas, it gives them a great opportunity in order to take advantage right now of a dollar that's still fairly strong, an opportunity to prepare for the inevitable that will take place whenever they decide to collapse the derivative market. And that's the method that they'll bring about the collapses of all the currencies of the world when they get ready to do it. And these things that I learned from my elite friend, it all depends on how much in depth you want to go into them today, Vinny.
Lindsay, they say, are they capable of indefinitely putting things off? Because I've seen the enormous creation of money out of thin air, and a lot of people are saying that it can't be sustained. And my opinion is you can infinitely create things that don't exist. So they can put it off for however long they want. And it's only a matter of timing.
Vinny, you're thinking in the right channel. And, you know, that's been so difficult for so many people. I have a lot of friends who are newsletter writers. And over the past year, year and a half, one after the other has stuck his neck out and said there's going to be a financial collapse when Greece collapses and the euro is going to collapse. And I went to my elite friend, and he said, no, Chaplain, it's not going to. And then I'd go back, and some talk show host would say, how long is it going to be? And I'd go to my elite friend. He said, Chaplain, not going to be in the next 3 months. Then 3 months later, I'd go back again, and finally he came across with it when he was talking about this physical cliff. They do have the capability of holding this thing off, not infinitely, but they have the capability of holding it off for a lengthy period of time until they can create massive debt all over the world. The reason they're holding it off, and I'll use the words that are, they really are, I don't know how to put it, they're forceful words. The word forced debt creation is what they are in the process of doing over the next 2 to 3 years.
Okay. Tom, do you have anything to add here?
Say that again, Benny.
I was asking Tom, does he have anything to add here?
Oh, yes. I'm sorry, Benny. Absolutely. And the other thing, besides creating massive debt, the global elite or the powers that be globally are certainly in the process of doing to prepare for, the new global system is to create global institutions in order to be able to run the new global system. So you're seeing either new global institutions being created, which will be vital parts of the new world order, or you're seeing existing institutions like, for example, the IMF, which has really been involved, evolved by the global elite into a different type of institution than it was created for. And really right now it's almost serving as the global, Fed. Once the IMF, through the direction of the global elite, get their loans and their monies, into countries, then those countries really become slaves. So they get into servitude, to the IMF and the debt that the IMF, is getting them into, or they're accepting the debt and the loans from the IMF. And if you speak to anybody in the Eurozone, they'll tell you that when any country gets a loan from the IMF, it's just not simply a financial transaction, but it's a financial transaction. It's a social transaction because they put social prescriptions on, what they need to do in order to get these loans. It's taken away a lot of the personal freedoms of many of the people all throughout the entire Eurozone. So that's
not entirely. It's not entirely dissimilar from taking a loan shark's word, saying he'll kneecap you if you don't pay by this certain time, and before you know it, you're in his pocket. That's kind of how it works. Lindsay Williams and Tom Filer are my guests today for the full 2 hours. We'll be right back after the break at thevinnieeastwoodshow.com. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. We're broadcasting live on AmericanFreedomRadio.com 5 days a week, trying to give a platform to those who don't really have their own. Because, hey, look at it this way. If you want to talk about media coverage, they don't usually give it to those who actually deserve your attention, do they? And if you want to make something right, you've got to do it yourself. My very special guests are Tom Filer and Pastor Lindsay Williams. Welcome back. Now, we were talking before the break about the setup of new global institutions and also the, persistent involvement of current global institutions, such as the IMF, in terms of setting up massive debt and indeed the social and political policies of the countries that they indeed indebt. Who would like to continue on from that?
Well, Tom, you go ahead. You've been in the financial world for years.
Sure. Something else, of course, that you're seeing out there, and I think Chaplin has spoken about it and reported on it very well, is a change in the use of currencies all around the world. A new world order cannot have a country or one country's currency as a dominant so-called reserve currency, but not just a reserve currency, but a currency that is so instrumental in global trade. A new world order can't have that. So what has been going on for the past well over a decade is the U.S. Financial power and strength, as well as the strength of our currency, is being diminished. And, of course, that's certainly to the detriment of people in the United States and people who, you know, we transact business, we work, we get paid in the U.S. dollars, the sweat off our brow, and that's just been diminishing, and that's the plan. I think Chaplin's reported on how a lot of the oil trade out there now has shifted away from the dollar and into local currencies between the countries that are doing the trade. The emerging countries, the BRIC companies, countries are looking to put together an institution which they would do trade, through themselves, and not use the U.S. dollar. And so that's another change or evolution of what's going on out there in order to make this change into the so-called New World Order.
Vinny, what you just asked is one of the 10 agendas that the elite told me about. Now, I am amazed at the questions you're asking today. It's almost as if you have read my mind or looked at my latest DVD series that just came out days ago.
I'm doing neither.
So nobody can say that you knew the questions to ask today. But that's exactly what's happening. Over the next 4 years, it is scheduled to phase out the American dollar. Now, it's been phased out very rapidly. First of all, the BRICS group, the Brazil, Russia, India, China, and South Africa group that met back on April the 5th, 2012, said they would not use the American dollar anymore in sale and trade of their products. And that's 43% of the world's population, 18% of the world's GDP, and 53% of the world's global financial capital. Then it came up to the Phnom Penh meeting, which took place just a matter of days ago. You remember when our president went there, President of the United States of America, and there were 15 Asian nations comprising one half of the world's population, and they met to form the Regional Comprehensive Economic Partnership. And when our president got there, he was utterly, totally disgraced and embarrassed. Our news media here in America covered this before he left. Oh, this wonderful meeting he's going to, his entourage, he's flying over this meeting. When he got back to America, you didn't hear one word, not a peep out of the liberal media, because they told our president, of the United States of America, when he got there at this meeting, they basically said, get on your 747 and fly back home. We don't even want you here. We are not going to allow you to be a part of this group. Now, consider who this is. This is one half the world's population formed their own comprehensive economic partnership, including China, India, Japan, South Korea, Australia, and New Zealand. That is 3 billion Asians. And they said, we aren't even going to include the United States of America. Can you imagine one half of the world, as of right now, not needing the American dollar any longer because they're going to use Chinese currency for the sale and trade of all their products amongst themselves? The dollar is already dead, and one of the 10 agendas that were given to me, that is, over the next 4 years, Americans, you better prepare for it. You can go buy something with it right now. You better get ready for the day that its purchasing power is diminished drastically, because that is one of the agendas of the next 4 years to phase out the American dollar.
Have you ever heard of the film Weekend at Bernie's, where their boss dies and they keep him around, like put sunglasses on him and keep him moving through a sophisticated pulley system, things like that?
Yes.
It seems like the dollar
very
to me
funny.
Is like Weekend at Bernanke's.
Yeah.
How long are they going to keep the charade up?
They'll keep it up for a minimum of 2 years. Now, please, I know I'm really sticking my neck out and setting dates here today. And if the elite don't get their way, then I'm quite sure that people will say something about me. But from what I'm gathering between the lines and what my friends are telling me, they've got at least 2 years before they're going to allow anything drastic or catastrophic to happen to the dollar. But be careful, up into the third and fourth year, you may begin to see some very, very drastic events.
Tom Filer, what's your take on all this? And over the next 2 years, financially speaking, on a household level, how should people really be perceiving this information?
Well, in the DVD, in the presentation that I make, if I were to pull one line out of that that people really need to listen to, is under the present economic and market conditions, investors need to immediately protect their holdings. And that's because of what is coming up. There are a lot of what I call dislocations out there in the economic and in the financial world. And I think, you know, the audience is aware of a lot of those dislocations. The U.S. has a dramatic balance sheet dislocation or problem. In other words, we have a lot of debt. Of course, over in Europe, they have a lot of debt as well. There's also, we were talking about printing the currency and diminishing the value of the dollar. So there's actually, there's money being printed all over the world, not just in the U.S. Fed. And so, again, that causes a dislocation in the system, you know, when you artificially, you know, take actions like that. And it's almost a few other things you can you know, think about is there's always derivatives. You know, don't get complacent about understanding what the impact of derivatives are. We saw what happened with J.P. Morgan, last year. And so derivatives are always poised to create a dislocation, and then, you know, very much like an earthquake. You know, I could mention about seven or eight other types of dislocations that are out there in the currency world, with derivatives, as well as a number of other places. And it's very much like an earthquake, you know, where, you know, these various areas, whether it be in currencies, whether it be in derivatives, whether it be, you know, balance sheets, whether it be, you know, printing of money, all those dislocations are constantly moving. And they begin to rub, when they begin to rub up against each other, they're constantly rubbing up against each other because a lot of them are related to each other. A lot of these markets, the currency markets, the derivatives markets, the stock market, they're all related to each other and they have a relationship. And that's one thing that we explain in the DVD. As a matter of fact, you'll read a section or you'll hear a section on the DVD about the relationship between various markets. And it's something that you've probably never heard before, and information that's not presented to you. But when these dislocations constantly rub against each other, every once in a while, just like an earthquake, you're gonna get a dislocation between the rubbing, and you're gonna get a rumbling, or you're gonna get an earthquake. And of course, we saw that between 2007 and 2009, when we saw, you know, stock market go down 30-50%, real estate go down even more than that. So that's what's happening out there in the world today, and so that's why you've got to immediately get your assets protected.
Now, with the massive connections between all of these different financial instruments, whether that be commodities trading, derivatives, if they're all connected, does that mean they can all be manipulated?
Yeah.
Tom, you go ahead.
Yes. Right now, let me give you a good example. Right now, the stock market is at 5-year highs. And, of course, we're in a situation now where, you know, economically the U.S. has 7-8% unemployment, which wouldn't justify a market being at highs after 5 years. We've got, as I mentioned before, a gigantic budget deficit. We've got we don't even have GDP growth. GDP is increasing at about, you know, 2% here in the United States, in the United States, and that's not growth. You know, growth is 3+% GDP growth. So we don't even have growth in our economy here in the United States. And I can mention a number of other, you know, things about the weakness of the U.S. economy, and yet the stock market is at 5-year high. You see, so the stock market, you know, is being manipulated and is being, you know, pushed up and held up by some very specific means. And, of course, you know, we're aware of what those means are. We know how they work. And, of course, you know, this helps us to advise people on their stock market assets and how to first get them into safety and then look to try to diversify into safer, more physical assets. That's one thing, and once again, Chaplin has been talking about for years, is the need to diversify and get out of paper assets and, hold physical assets as much as possible, assets that can provide sustenance to you. So, again, you know, in the presentation and in a booklet that I think we're going to be talking about today, there's an explanation of some of these physical assets that are available to diversify your paper assets into.
Now, I've been told by a number of people, I'd like to address this question to you, Pastor, is that if you've got your assets on paper, that's all that they're worth. Unless you actually have gold in your possession, it's worth nothing.
That is exactly one of the expressions that was given to me back almost 3 years ago. And I think I said it on your show a number of times. It's in the archives. If it is written on a piece of paper, it is worth the paper it's written on. But that does not mean that the only thing you can put it in is gold and silver. An asset, a tangible asset that is not paper, could very well be a garden in your backyard that the land is paid for, and you can grow food for your family. It may be a paid-for roof over your head, and I plead, I beg, I get on my knees here before this microphone, if I could, and beg with every person in your audience to pay off the mortgage on that house. I had rather live in a log cabin with no mortgage on it than to live in a $1 million mansion and have a mortgage. They have plans for that mortgage over the next 4 years that will dumbfound you when you hear these 10 agendas. Now, other things that gold and silver may be something that you want to go into. There are many tangible assets, but the main thing is get out of those 401ks, get out of those IRAs, get out of that mutual fund, get out of anything that's paper. Even city bonds and state bonds and municipal bonds and all the rest of them, they're written on paper. My dad was a very wealthy man before I was born. And back in 1929, he had made a fortune on Florida real estate. And he decided that the best thing in the world to invest in was Coral Gables, Florida bonds. After all, nothing could ever happen. With the building boom that was going on in South Florida, those bonds would always be worth something. Well, 1929 hit. And when it did, the city of Coral Gables declared bankruptcy. Oh, you say it can't happen. Oh, yes, it can. Every city in the nation has the capability of declaring bankruptcy. And Coral Gables, Florida declared bankruptcy, and in 24 hours' time, my dad went from being a wealthy man to a pauper because he had his assets in paper. If it's written on a piece of paper, it's worth the paper it's written on, Benny.
So the ability to manipulate what's actually happening in the markets is essentially the Achilles heel of the common man. And the hammer stroke that can fall from the elite all the way down to us.
Well, Vinny, let me just relate something here that each of your listeners out there, this I hope will move them quite a bit. When I heard these 10 agendas, now keep in mind, I was a pastor of a church for 12 years. I failed a decent-sized congregation.
Break.
I had been a missionary in Alaska for many years. You can't be in that position without having a heart for people. And when I heard what was going to happen from one of them that's retired, this man is older, he's not a young fellow, but he knows what's going on behind closed doors. And when I heard what was going to happen, that's when I went in studio, and 3 hours and 29 minutes it took me to tell the information I'd heard. And after I got through with it, I was so flabbergasted. I think that's probably what's been wrong with me here the last few weeks. I was so heart sick, so flabbergasted that I said, I can't do this. I could not release it. I had already produced it. The editor.
Pastor, I'm sorry. We're coming up to break now. We'll be right back. Tom Filer and Pastor Lindsay Williams are my guests. We'll be right back at theVinnieEastwoodShow.com.
Black sunrise, shadow coming over the sky.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. It's the lighter side of genocide, because in a world so full of chaos, madness, and perpetual scumbaggery, if you lose your sense of humour, you'll go friggin' nuts. my very special guests are Tom Filer and Pastor Lindsay Williams. Now, I've had a question in the chat room, and I'd like to address that first before I go on to my next point. Something about Iron Mountain, some description of meeting. Do you guys know anything about this? Because I don't.
I'm not quite sure what you're speaking of, Benny.
All right. Cool. Yeah, next question. You said that there were 10 things to watch out for, Chaplain Williams? I'd like to address them one by one and then get Tom's comments on them after you explain what they are, kind of thing, if that's possible.
Yes, I'd be more than happy to, because Tom knows these well. What happened was, after I had received this information and produced that DVD, I called Tom. And you remember the day I called you, Tom, I was desperate. And I said, I have to give people an answer to all of this. I cannot leave them here. And Tom Fowler and one other gentleman, very prominent financial advisor in America, and Tom I trust more than anybody in the country financially. And I said, would you please go in studio with me and let's give people nothing but solutions. I said, I don't want a single doom and gloom. I said, I've already told them all the 10 agendas, some bad, some good. I said, I want us, look these over. And I sent them the text. And I said, you look them over, and let's go in studio. And we did. In 2 hours and 50 minutes, three of us gave a solution to the wealthy person, the middle-class person, the street person, I don't care who you may be. Nothing but 2 hours and 50 minutes of solutions as to how you can overcome the next 4 years. And we called the first one the next 4 years. We called the second one how you can survive in the next 4 years. Yes, there are solutions out there to these. So let me give you the first one. Number one is very encouraging. There will not be a financial collapse yet if the elite have their way. They don't want it yet. And sometimes they can't always prevent things. Now, that's good news, because your dollar is still strong enough. Go do something about it. Don't go into debt, please. Don't borrow money for any reason. If you can't pay for it outright, don't buy it. But keep in mind that you have a window of opportunity here. Secondly, you must be cautious of the second item, forced debt creation. And, Tom, this is where I'm going to ask you for some help, because the elite are using such things as the alternative minimum tax. The average person doesn't even realize what's going to happen to them April the 15th. They don't know that the average family, when they have someone fill out their tax for them on April the 15th, they're going to come to realize that they owe $2,000 to $3,000 extra that they didn't even know was there. It all came out of the fiscal cliff. The rich aren't the ones being taxed. The middle class is being taxed into oblivion. And number one was, you're not going to have a financial collapse yet. Secondly, they are forcing debt creation. So, Tom, you give us some ideas there if you can.
Sure. Yeah, that's one of the themes, I think, in parts of the DVD, that the global elite or the financial power structure out there is after your money. And they need your money to push up their assets. And then when it comes time, there's always two sides to a trade. I think earlier, Vinny, you mentioned that owning assets that appreciate are good, but you don't really benefit from those until an asset is sold. And then you take a profit. But you need money to push that asset up. And then when you sell it, you need somebody on the other side of the trade, which is the side of the trade that loses the money. And so we just went through a situation between 2007 and 2009 when the skids were greased for over a decade. All throughout the 2000s, stock market was pushed up, real estate prices were pushed up. And then when it came time for the global leader, the power elite, to take their profits, they took their profits, and it was the everyday American who lost 30 to 50% in their 401ks and their portfolios, as well as in their real estate. And that's, as Chaplain mentions, another way to basically take your money is through taxes. So that was one of the big fallacies that was perpetuated with the fiscal cliff deal. It was told that the middle class are going to be protected. Their taxes are not going to be raised, only those who make more than $400,000. But as Chaplin points out, that's not true at all. The Social Security taxes went up, and the taxes from the new health care program, they're going up on the middle class. So that was just a gigantic lie and fallacy of this so-called fiscal cliff deal. But from an investment management standpoint, for those people who do own 401ks, for those people who have money in the stock market, for those who maybe have people in some of the other markets, the good news, and Chaplin's right, Chaplin every day speaks on the radio and, of course, through the DVDs, and there's always the problem or the challenge, but there's always the solution. And so the good news is, from an investment standpoint and from the management of the assets that you have, there are ways to protect your money, and there's ways to be able to navigate what's going on out there with these big changes that's going on, and be able to not only protect your assets from what's going on, but also to grow your assets as well. If you work with somebody competent and they know what they're doing.
Okay. And you said that there were 10 things to look out for, Chaplin Williams. What's number two?
Well, number one was they don't want a financial collapse right now. Number two, forced debt creation is one of their agendas. Let me give you a typical example of it. When I went to college many, many years ago, I worked my way through college. My parents didn't have the money to send me. Finished 7 years, got a bachelor's degree. I worked in a grocery store. I worked driving Avis automobiles and delivering them. I did everything imaginable. Today, they have convinced the average high school graduate that the only thing they can do is get a college loan from the federal government. It is intentional. It is forced debt creation. They know when that college graduate gets out that very few of them are actually going to find a job in America, because they've moved them to China and India and Mexico, and they know this. And so as a result, they know that this person will be obligated to Uncle Sam for years and years and years to come. And because of this, Mr. Obama said just the other day, I was flabbergasted this man would even say this. He said, all right, whenever you graduate from college with your college loan, if you will work for the government for 2 years, we'll forgive that student loan. I can't describe the emotion I had when this man had the audacity to take those poor students and put them under his thumb like that. So the number one was that. Number two, forced debt creation. Number three, middle class is it is an agenda to, over the next 4 years, literally tax the middle class into oblivion. Now, I'd like to give you something. You've had time to get those pencils and paper. So you can write this down for yourself, figure it on your calculator right there at home. I want to give you, which is, I guess, the 1, 2, 3, the fourth agenda, basically. I call it that because it was just something given to me. I want to give you a devaluation formula. This is what they're working on. Now, first thing you want to put down is 3%. Now, what I'm going to do is give you the percentages, and then after I finish, I want you to figure, in accordance with how this works out with your personal finances, as to how long you and your household can continue to maintain your level of living right now with this devaluation formula as a basis for figuring it. Number one, put down 3%, because on September the 13th of 2012, when the Federal Reserve announced that they were going to take $40 billion out of thin air, they didn't say that, but that's exactly what they did, $40 billion out of thin air every month and buy mortgage-backed securities, it automatically depreciates the purchasing power of that paycheck that you get every week by 3%. Then put down some of these new taxes that were the result of the fiscal cliff. The very week the fiscal cliff agreement was made, there was a 2% tax put on your paycheck. So put down another 2%.
Then I want you to put down Obamacare. Obamacare beginning 1 year from now. I'm going over a four-year period. Understand that these 10 agendas don't all happen in the next month. These are things that they intend to accomplish over a four-year period. And put down Obamacare, first day of next year, you'll be paying somewhere between $30 to $60 per month for Obamacare. I mean, it's going to cost you. You say, oh, well, my employee is paying it. Yeah, but your employee doesn't pay it. Your employee just raises the price of the product, and you're still paying it anyway. There is no free lunch out there. So you figure between $30 and $60, depending on what your family size and so on is for Obamacare, and put that down, what percentage. Then you've gone to the grocery store recently. You know where grocery prices are going. You determine about what percentage that grocery prices are going up and put that down. Then you want to go to inflation. We know what that is. The government announces that between 7 and 9% per year. So put down one half to maybe three quarters of a percentage for inflation. Then put down the fact that your employer may cut you back to a 30-hour work week because any employee that he or she has that they have working for 30 hours or more, they have to pay the Obamacare tax on them. So as a result, Walmart has already announced that every person working for Walmart as of the first day of next year, unless they are management personnel, will be cut back to less than 30 hours per week.
Okay, well, I'm sorry, Lindsay, we're coming up to the end of the first hour now. We'll be back in just a few minutes, ladies and gentlemen, with Tom Filer and Pastor Lindsay Williams to continue the calculations.
Everyone's asleep.
Everyone but me.
Everyone but me.
Welcome back. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. It is now hour number two. It's the fastest 2 hours in talk radio, broadcasting live from the future, where in New Zealand, it is already tomorrow for the Americans. It's why the news and information we give out is so accurate, because we can see it before it happens. Like Jedi reflexes. Speaking of Jedi reflexes, we're talking about financial crisis and financial dependence and things of that nature. And I do want to reiterate to the audience that me, Vinnie Eastwood, is incredibly financially dependent on you, the listeners. Very, very few products get sold off the website. But when I need donations, that is when the people actually choose to open their wallets. It's quite extraordinary. People don't want anything from me except for what I'm already doing. And when I ask for help and financial support, that's when they tend to show up. I wanted to thank all of those who have contributed within the last week. And I also want to reiterate again just how desperate the financial situation is for me and Sarah at the moment. And I ask you, please, desperately, I'm pulling like 10, 14-hour days. I really do try very hard to get you some really fabulous guests with good information and people that otherwise would never even get on the radio because so many other radio show hosts are judgmental. They've got a bar that you need to fit under and things like that. There really isn't much of a bar on this show. If you suggest a guest, I will bring them on. This is a public service that I do of my own volition simply because nobody else is doing it. And it's being done 5 days a week. You can go to the archive sections of the VinnieEastwoodShow.com, the commercial-free archive sections as well there, and you will see that every single day for a two-hour show, I will produce a number of videos based from that show onto YouTube that are actually posted on the archive sections as well. So you have a choice. You can either watch what I'm doing here every day on the webcam on my YouTube channel, and on the VinnieEastwoodShow.com, embedded right next to the straightforward audio archives that are recorded directly from the stream of AmericanFreedomRadio.com in high quality, as well as having it split into hour one or hour two. So if I have a different guest and you want to listen to one rather than the other, you don't have to download the whole file. And there are also short clips in there where if you don't have time to listen to the whole show, or if you at least want to get a gist for how the show was going, the best section of each show will be put there as well. So it does take a lot of work to do this, and I have no wages or salary or things like that. Essentially, for the last year or two, you listening right now are the only thing that has actually kept this show going. So please, go to the VinnieEastwoodShow.com and give me a donation. Something to say thank you, Vinnie, for all the work that you do. Something to say thank you, Vinnie, for keeping me sane. Thank you for making us laugh. Thank you for giving the people who deserve it some coverage that they ordinarily wouldn't get. I do this for you. I do this for the planet. I do this to create a better world because I want to see it happen. And I take responsibility for it. And like I say, I cannot continue to do it forever on nothing. My ideal situation would be able to purchase a home. I would love a place where me and Sarah can live comfortably, where Sarah can have her garden and we can have some chickens, and I can do up a room and turn it into a proper studio so that when activists and commentators who don't have media training, don't know how to produce a radio show, don't know how to film, don't know how to edit, can come in, spend a day with me. I will show them how to do it all, and then they will never need me again. And they can go off and they can start doing all of the stuff that I'm able to do by themselves without my help. That is the message. That is the methodology that I follow. I want people to not need me anymore, because that would be the true meaning of independence. Unfortunately, I'm dependent on the audience in order to make that dream come true. So please go to the VinnieEastwoodShow.com and help me do that dream. My very special guests are Pastor Lindsay Williams and Tom Filer. Gentlemen, welcome back.
Thank you, Vinny.
So we were getting up to... You were doing some calculations there, Lindsay. I scarcely remember exactly what part of it we were getting up to. It's quite a long one.
The reason I gave you a devaluation formula is so that I can tell you why they're doing this. Now, you have figured up all of the percentages. You remove that much in purchasing power from your paycheck every month. And then you tell me how long it will be that you can continue to put food on the table, clothes on the back of the family, gasoline in the gas tank, and pay the house mortgage. Now I'm going to tell you why they're working it this way. They want the dollar to deteriorate so much over the next 4 years that you won't be able to do all those things. And you will say, now, wait a minute, what is one thing that I can quit doing? You've already guessed it. Of the items I listed, the one thing that you'll probably do, which thousands and thousands of Americans have done, you'll quit paying the mortgage. That is exactly what they want you to do if your house is mortgaged. Because the Federal Reserve has already bought your house mortgage. $40 billion every month since September. The Federal Reserve has bought shopping center mortgages. They bought church mortgages. Oh, my goodness. When I get down to one of these agendas, it deals with the church. Yes, I was appalled. They have bought your house mortgage. More than likely, if they're not, they will. So whenever you default, what will they do? They'll step in and say, oh, we're sorry. You've missed 3 or 4 months of payment. We'll be glad to repossess your house. We'll give you anything back for all the years that you've paid on it. And we will turn around and, in benevolence, we'll be more than happy to rent it back to you and your children for the rest of your life. That is exactly what the New World Order... Do you understand now why they don't want a financial collapse yet?
They haven't accomplished all of the forced debt creation that they want to create, and they're going to do it for another 2, maybe 3 years, maybe even up into the fourth year. And they want, just the scenario that I just mentioned, is exactly what they want to happen to you. Then the New World Order can step in and say, we have an answer. We have a new currency. Just be willing to give up your constitution. We've got the answer to all of these things. They, and here again, I'm going to stick my neck way out. The New World Order, the elite that I know, they do not want revolution. Did you hear this? I know. On so many of the talk shows that I'm on, the talk show hosts, they talk about revolution. If it happens, the elite don't want it. Now, why have they backed off on this gun issue so much? Now, you watch one issue after the other. If the American people revolt enough, they're going to back off until they are able to create this massive debt creation that they want. This forced debt creation is the proper wording for it. And why are they doing this? Because they want to bring in the New World Order their way. They do not want to destroy America. They want to take over America. I hope you're catching these words. They're so important. And I would have never known this had it not been for the position that by the providence of God he's put me in for these years. They want to bring in the New World Order by their method. Now, there are some complications out there for them right now, such as what's happening over in Syria with Assad. They've got a real problem on their hands over there. They've got a problem in a few other places in the world. But this is the method that they want to use if they can. That's the reason I gave you the devaluation formula, so that you can figure for yourself how long you can continue with the devaluation that they have planned for you. Vinny?
Tom, do you have something to add?
Sure, sure. A few thoughts come to mind. People, I think, if they, listen close enough and they observe, they'll see the patterns out there. And so Chaplin is right in mentioning that the United States is looking to be enslaved by debt. And so he just explained, how and why. And that's the same pattern of what happened over in the EU, the European Economic Community. Right now, they're being enslaved in debt and using debt. If you go up to Egypt, the global elite have no need of a dictator, because a dictator who runs the country is in it for himself and to a degree for the people who support him in his country. But the global elite have no need for a dictator, because the dictator doesn't care about the global elite, doesn't want the global elite to come into their country and do anything. And so that's why a number of leaders have been taken out of power in the Middle East, including in Egypt. And you can follow the pattern almost to the date of as the Mubarak went down and as a new government took over. Soon thereafter, you had two things happen. Number one, again, U.S. power in the Middle East has to be diminished. According to the global elite, the U.S. has had too much power, too much influence in the Middle East, and so that's being dramatically diminished, and that's behind a lot of what's going on in the Middle East. And so you had the new Egyptian leader go and visit China and visit Iran. You see, so that's and Russia is also becoming more more influential in the Middle East as well. So basically, the global elite is changing the relationships that have been in the Middle East for many, many years to diminish the U.S. power in the Middle East. The second thing that happened, and you can just look this up and look at the date, soon after the Egyptian leader visited China and Iran, the IMF offered Egypt loans. You see, so there's the pattern right there. That's how the enslavement is taking place. Of course, it says in the Bible that the borrower is servant or slave to the lender. But Chaplin is exactly right. That's the pattern, and that's the method that's being used to enslave countries and peoples. One other thought that came to mind, and I kind of say this or express this with a smile on my face, you might have heard the story about Phil Mickelson, who's one of the best golfers in the world. And he came out, apparently had the audacity to make a public statement talking about how between the increase of taxes in California where he lives and also federally, that he was going to be paying about two-thirds of his earnings to taxes. And he said that he might have to make some major changes with regards to with regard to that. I'm not sure he said what he was going to do. You know, maybe, you know, move out of California into a lower tax state, or maybe move out of the United States to a lower tax country. So I don't know what his plans were, but he was very soon and quickly criticized by the socialist crowd here in the United States, to the extent that he had to go publicly apparently apologize for apparently not wanting to pay two-thirds of his taxes to a state and federal government.
Well, this is something that's been happening a lot more recently with Americans, is they want to get the heck out of the United States for one reason or the other. A friend of mine also wanted to move to New Zealand, and he asked me, Vinny, how expensive is farmland in New Zealand? And I said, let me put it like this. The only two people who have been able to purchase any decent-sized farmland in New Zealand that I've heard of have been giant Chinese conglomerates and James Cameron. Apparently, this country is where many of the elite are choosing to set up shop. I don't know if you have any information to corroborate this, Lindsay, but in terms of paparazzi, you can see people who are very famous. They walk down New York streets or Rodeo Drive or something of that nature, and they'll either have reporters or camera people snapping photos of them, or they might have people who recognize them and go up to them, ask for autographs. In New Zealand, you can literally be Lady Gaga walking down the main street in Auckland with hundreds of people walking past her every minute, and not a single person will stop and talk to her. Not because they don't recognize her or know who she is, but because we're respectful of people's space. I thought that was a very interesting phenomenon.
Well, if I may add to that, Vinny, as Chaplin mentioned, the CVD sets out the problems but also the solutions. So in the DVD, you're going to hear about countries just as you said, you know, wealthy people are moving out of the United States to. But there's also a big difference, and the DVD goes through this, about which state in the United States you live in. And the DVD goes into some of the distinctions between various states and spells out how, I believe, some of the solutions to an overreaching federal government that has really extended its power for decades, way too extensively. But, you know, there's a suggested solution that states need to take more of a role in protecting its citizens from an overreaching federal government. But there are some states who will not do that. And we saw it, for example, up in New York, where they recently passed some tougher gun laws. Up in New York, and yet in a couple of other states, one of them being Texas, I believe Wyoming, they passed laws that prohibited the federal government from authorizing or taking away gun rights. So that's something that we all have to learn about, is if you stay here in the United States, which states are more advantageous to do business in and to live in, which states will protect the individual liberties and the rights of its people, you know, from the overreaching federal government.
Now,
a few years
interesting?
Ago, Vinny, I contacted my elite friend, and I asked him about some people that, excuse me, that we all knew years ago up on the North Slope. And what I was doing was making a survey of where the elite live today. They're retired, of course, in their 70s and 80s. I could not find a single elite who live in a metropolitan area, that their primary residence is in a metropolitan area. Now, they may have an apartment there or something, but they don't live there. And I was amazed at how many of them live in the state of Alaska, out in the middle of nowhere. They know what's going to be taking place at some point. And as a result, they have protected themselves. It's quite interesting also that about a week ago, I had a very prominent attorney
in California. I'll just say the L.A. area, even though it's not L.A. proper that they live in. And this attorney is very wealthy.
Lindsay, we'll have to continue that after the break. Listen to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. Tom Filer, Lindsay Williams are my guests.
I was toting my pack along the dusty Winnemucca Road when along came a semi with a high-end canvas-covered load. If you're going to Winnemucca Mac with me, you can ride. And so I climbed into the cab and then I settled down inside. He asked me if I'd seen a road with so much dust and sand, and I said, listen, I've traveled every road in this here land. I've been everywhere, man. I've been everywhere, man. Across the deserts, bare, man. I breathe the mountain air, man. I travel, I've had my share, man. I've been everywhere.
Welcome back to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. We've only got two more segments left in it. Pastor Williams and Tom Filer are my guests. These two gentlemen together tend to soak up airtime like the New World Order soaks up national sovereignty. So we're going to have to get moving. We wanted to get back to what you were saying just before, Lindsay, about the lawyer you talked to in the Los Angeles area. And then I wanted to continue on to try and, if we can, cover the remaining five topics of these 10 plans and agendas of the elite that you alluded to earlier.
Yes, this attorney in California called. I've known them for some number of years. And they said, Chaplain, we're leaving California immediately. And I said, why? You got a beautiful multi-million-dollar home. Why are you leaving California? They said there are certain sections in Los Angeles where FedEx and UPS will not even deliver anymore. The crime is so bad. FedEx and UPS will not even go in those sections of L.A. to deliver anymore. They said, we are a prime target. Our taxes are going up. Can you please suggest where in America we should go? Now, that's exactly what Tom was talking about just a moment ago. That people are moving out of certain areas and moving into others. I have had many, many people who left America and went to other countries. And I have watched them, close friends of mine. I would say 80% of them have returned back to America. Very unhappy. Wish they had stayed here in the first place. And we talk about some of this in our new DVD series and try to help give you some advice, Benny.
Okay, so let's continue on with the 10 agendas of the elite. I believe we were up to number 5. What's number 6?
Well, you have the devaluation formula. Then we go down to the debt limit suspended. I am so glad that I immediately went in studio and did this DVD after this information was given to me, because nobody back then would have dared. Now, this is in November. When I wrote my outline for all of this, nobody would have dared even hinted about a debt limit suspended. And over the next few months, we've already heard it begin to be talked about. Oh, it's a big thing out there right now. But back in November, nobody would dare mention it. The debt limit is going to be, if the elite have their way, one of their agendas is to suspend the debt limit and let Congress literally spend as if there is no tomorrow. The next agenda, and I've given it to you already earlier in the program, the dollar is scheduled to be phased out. And I mentioned the BRICS and the Phnom Penh. It already is phased out. It is already dead for all practical purposes. It is no longer the reserve currency of the world, and it is no longer the petrodollar of the world. The next agenda is kind of an agenda information sort of an idea that I was appalled when I was first introduced to this. You've got three factions out there right now, and you need to watch all three of them very, very carefully. Number one, you have the elite, the old-time elite, the ones that have been out there as long as the New World Order has been talked about and on back and back and back. Secondly, you have right now something that the elite did not want to happen. And there again, I'm going to stick my neck way out. Mr. Obama double-crossed the elite numerous times in his first 4 years. he did not allow the Keystone Pipeline to go through. And, oh, did it make them mad. They were beside themselves. Secondly, he put in the Dobbs-Frank bill, and the elite didn't want that. Thirdly, he refused to open up public lands for oil exploration. As a result, if the elite had had their way, Mr. Obama would have not gotten back in. But he did. And they have a problem on their hands now. They have an out-of-control, like a bull in a china shop president that is not doing all the things that the elite want done. I'm very concerned at times. And as a result, who is going to suffer? The middle class of America is going to be caught between two factions, or actually three factions. Let me give you the third faction, and then I'll show you how you're going to be caught between them and how you need to protect yourself. There is out there right now what's being called a renegade elite. And there again, I go back to this BRICS group and the Phnom Penh, which is such a large portion of the world's population. And they have said, we're not going to use the dollar anymore. And they have somewhat gotten out of the clutches of the elite to the point of where they actually wanted them to be. And as the elite have expressed to me, there is some concern on their part as to how they can keep these groups in control along with China. They'll find a way to do it. But you have these three factions, the old-fashioned elite, the New World Order. You've got Obama, a president that is out of control. You've got a renegade elite that is concerning them. And you remember the old saloon fights that you used to see in the Western movies years ago, where there'd be one person sitting in the middle of the saloon, but everybody else started fighting, and they didn't have any choice but to fight their way out. The middle class of America is being caught right now in the clutches of a battle between these three factions that is not going to be pretty. And you need to be very aware of what's happening, and it will affect you. It may affect your dinner table. It may affect your grocery prices. It may affect your job. So you need to be aware of that. Let me pause long enough here, Tom, just in case these that I've given, then I'll try to give you the others.
Tom, go ahead.
I would just say that what you have to understand is the nature and the character of these different elites. Each elite has their own agenda, or they've been doing things for certain reasons for their interests over many years. You know, the first elite that Chapman spoke about, the old guard elite, have always been in it for the money. So their methods and their characteristic is to use financial institutions and financial methods and means in order to do what they want, done. Another elite that Chapman mentioned is a global socialist elite. And while in the end, they'll get the money through all this debt that they enslave people in, but they're in it for political global control. You see, and that's different from the old guard elite. So you have to understand that. And then the third elite that was mentioned, they have their own interests as well. So you really have to understand each of these elites and how they're participating in what Chapman calls the bar fight.
So basically, one group of the elite want financial freedom for themselves. Another group of the elite don't want financial freedom for anybody else. It's two lines of on the board of a chess game, and we're just pawns in the middle, are we not?
Yes. And if
Sorry,
I could
Tom,
mention continue. One other, Vinny, if I could mention one other elite, and it's really not part of the first three, but it's an elite that Americans and the listeners have to deal with. And again, you know, your listeners, Vinny, because they listen to you, you know, they're very savvy. A lot of things we're talking about, but I want to encourage them, to support, your radio show. You work hard and you bring out information that the mainstream media doesn't bring out. The mainstream media is owned by the elite. Make no doubt about that. And that includes, the political mainstream media plus the financial media. media. Once a while, I'll turn on one of these financial cable shows, and I just sit there and laugh, you know, at the lies and the deception that they perpetuate out there. The world and the investment world is nothing like what they present on these cable business shows, but unfortunately, so many Americans think just the opposite. They think by watching these shows in this media that they're becoming educated and they're learning about what's going on out there. So a radio show like yours, bringing information which helps to truly inform the people on the truth of what's going on, is very, very important.
I do find the Obama speeches quite funny. Yeah, I want to create jobs. I want to help the economy. Stop it. You're killing me. No. You're really killing me.
Yeah.
Can't stand it. Anyway, moving on. We have 10 agendas of the elite. How many have we gone through thus far and how many remain, Pastor?
Well, we've got two or three here. Let me cover them very quickly, because if you will allow me the privilege of taking about 7 or 8 minutes toward the end of the program to explain something that is so close to my heart. This happened in the past 2 weeks with the Doctors of America, and we'll see how it comes out here. I'd really appreciate if I can give kind of a change there toward the very end. For the next agenda of the elite, 38% of the people in the United States of America right now receive some sort of remuneration from the federal or state government every month. Over the next 4 years, whenever I say some sort of remuneration, I mean it may be food stamps, it may be Social Security, it may be Medicare, Medicaid, maybe they work for the government, receive a paycheck, maybe they get a retirement from the government, some sort of remuneration somehow. By the end of 4 years, they intend to have 70% of the people in the United States of America receiving some sort of remuneration from the federal or state government every month.
And isn't it already 50%?
70%. And based on what I have heard, I have a prediction, my personal prediction, there will never be another honest election in the United States of America, because whoever writes the check for those 70% will always get the votes.
It's true.
Now, I have a prediction on gold. Gold in 2008, when Mr. Obama went in, was $800. 2012, it's somewhere around $1,700. 2016, now you may see it go way down, but it will go back up. By the end of 2016, it is intended to have gold prices approximately $3,000 an ounce. Don't panic if you see it drop to a low figure and then go back up again, because it will. The next agenda is one that is very, very close to my heart, because I was a pastor of a church. I was a missionary for 57 years. I've been a minister of the gospel. And there is something that this expression was used in a conversation back about 4 years ago, and I recorded it back then on the series, I think it was The Elite Speak, which is not even available now, but there was an expression used entitled Devil's Messiah, and I was so fascinated by it until I asked the individual what we were talking about. And basically, it is their code words for what they intend to do in demoralizing America. They knew that they could not bring in their new world order unless they removed the God that had made America great from the courthouse, from the classroom, from the church, from every facet of American life. And in the next 4 years, there is an agenda that is so startling to me. You remember when I gave you the devaluation formula? They intend for the dollar to become so worthless that your church people can't give like they've given in the past. And nearly every church out there has a mortgage on it of some kind. They want those churches, and they want the church to default on that mortgage. And when the dollar comes to a very critical state at some point in this period, they would like to be able to step in and say, well, we have no choice. You are mortgage. We'll just have to repossess. And at that point will be basically the final straw that broke the camel's back, and they'll be able to step in and tell the pastors of America what to preach. This is a very, very startling agenda. The next agenda, they wish to have millions of Muslims brought into the United States of America and given citizenship. Now, I know this is very touchy, but bear with me. You've heard so much about the illegals coming in from our southern border. And it was a big, big item in the election campaigning. You know why they did all that? Why this was such a big, big item? It wasn't because of the illegals from the southern border that they're concerned about. They wanted to set the stage for the second administration of Mr. Obama to bring in millions of Muslims. And this is more Mr. Obama's agenda than it is the elite. They want to bring in millions of Muslims and introduce Sharia law into America, which will basically nullify the Constitution of the United States of America. And at the same time, they give those south of the border their citizenship and green cards and permission to live in America. They want to be able to give it also. The real reason is to give it to this other group that they want to bring in. Benny.
Well, that is a great place to leave this segment. Now, when we come back, ladies and gentlemen, Pastor, we'll only have maybe about 12 minutes in the entirety of this segment to wrap this entire interview up. And for those of you who are listening live, we will be having a Skype chat. This is just a weekend thing kind of in New Zealand here, so you can give me a ring on Skype if you're part of the Vinnie Eastwood social network, and we'll just have a nice social chat right after the show. We'll be right back.
Bonkers.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. It is the final segment. I just wanted to quickly reiterate, this show does not survive without your support. If you do like what I do and you want to see it continue to happen, please go right now to the VinnieEastwoodShow.com and either click on that donate button to send something away, just a once-off, or click on that subscribe button. You can subscribe from anywhere for $1 to $5 a month or $10 to $20 a month. This is just a recurring thing so that I don't have to keep worrying and stressing about where my income is coming from. So I can just keep doing what I'm doing, essentially, the 10 to 14 hour days of work that I do. This show is much like a bathtub. It kind of doesn't work without a few plugs, you know what I'm saying? Speaking of which, we have a couple of things to wrap up here, the final of the 10 agendas of the elite. And then I want to give Pastor Lindsay Williams and Tom Filer the ability to plug their DVDs and also business opportunities for people who are in the listening audience. So, Pastor, if you wouldn't mind, or unless, Tom, you've got something to add before we cruise into that.
It has begun. It happened a little over 2 weeks ago. I am still sitting here appalled. I'm going to give you some names and places. I won't have but a few moments, so please look these up for yourself. Obamacare kicks in January the 1st of next year. Doctors all over America have already closed their practice. I'm going to give you a name, Dr. Holman, Lyle, Washington. Been a medical doctor for 20 years. He has a secretary and receptionist who has worked with him in his office for approximately 15 years. Very devout Christian people. This doctor is so popular that you'd wait weeks to get an appointment with him. Within the past 2 weeks, every doctor in America has received their first forms concerning Obamacare. They know their requirements. Some of them do now. And when the forms came to Dr. Holman, the first person to get it was his secretary, and she looked them over and came to Dr. Holman and said, "Doctor, I have been with you for a long time, but I'm resigning. I'm turning in my resignation right now." And he said, "Why?" She said, "We just received these first Obamacare forms and requirements." And she said, "I cannot do this." She said, "Morally, I will not be a part of it." Dr. Holman took the papers home, looked them over, and if you went to Lyle, Washington today, you would see a sign up on Dr. Holman's, yes, within 2 weeks, you'll see a sign up on Dr. Holman's office closed. He has already closed his practice. When I heard this and got in touch with the Holmans, they're very personal friends of mine and my wife and families, I contacted Dr. David Janda. You'll recognize his name. Dr. Janda is very prominent in the Midwest as a physician. In fact, he was so prominent that Congress had him to speak before Congress about the Obamacare program before it was ever presented to Congress. That's how well-known this man is. And I got in touch with him, and I said, David, what's the story? He said, Lindsay, I have already sold my office building. Yes, you heard me correctly. He has already sold his office building. He said, I have given a date for my leaving the medical profession. He's been in over 20 years, known all over the Midwest. And he said, I have told the local hospital that after a certain date, they can have all my patients and give them to whoever they want to. About that same time, I was startled again with a phone call from Anita in Oregon. And Anita is a close friend with a brain surgeon in that area, in that northwest Washington, Oregon area. And he had just been on the phone with her. He likewise have seen the regulations of Obamacare. And he said, Anita, if I were required to follow the rules of Obamacare, 50% of my patients will die on the operating table. He said, I don't know what I'm going to do. He said, I have to make instantaneous decisions. I do not have time to get a request from Washington what to do. Folks, you are facing a very, very serious situation that very few people know. Dr. Janda said to me, he said, Lindsay, 40% of the medical doctors or the people in the medical profession will be quitting by January 1st of next year. 40%. Can you imagine going to the emergency room and what you're going to be facing? This is so critical that the olden doctors are going to retire. The younger ones aren't coming into the medical profession. Many such as Holman and Janda, who are still in their middle age, are saying, we'll close our practice. We refuse to support what Obamacare supports, just as Hobby Lobby has refused to do it. Now, every church, every Christian school in America is going to have to make these same decisions within the next year. And, Vinny, it is going to be startling what's going to happen. So keep in mind that beginning next year, you must be your own doctor. Now, part of this is what we cover in our new DVD series, is try to help you to know how to do it. And on my new website that I didn't set up, but a man in Great Britain set it up for me, not for me, but without even my knowledge, go to lindsaywilliams.net, lindsaywilliams.net, N-E-T, and you'll find a lot of these suggestions week after week, day after day, as I'm able to post them. You must learn to be your own doctor. So, Vinny, if I could say that the last of the agendas has to do with Obamacare.
Okay. Tom, do you have anything to contribute?
Well, yeah, I can reiterate that experience. Chaplain, I actually was contacted by somebody through one of your radio appearances, and you mentioned my name, and they happened to live near where I live. And they called me up, and we got together, and we met. And this was a very good doctor, very well-known in the area. And he just said that this new healthcare system is really going to take the decision-making away from the doctors, and the prescriptions, I guess, from the Obamacare will basically tell the doctors what they need to do and what they can and what they can't do, not what they think or what their judgment is to do for the patient. And so he just told me this directly, so that's another experience.
Okay, well, gentlemen, we only have about 3 to 4 minutes left on the show. And I understand that both of you guys need support from the audience just as much as I do. And I'd like you to allow you the opportunity to plug your websites and services. And also one thing I did like to do for you particularly, Pastor, is to actually close off the show with a prayer.
Well, first of all, may I say to everyone out there in Vinnie Eastwood's listening audience, you positively must support Vinnie Eastwood. I could not be on the air. Tom Fowler could not be here today if it were not for Vinny Eastwood and American Freedom Network. Please, you must have part in keeping Vinny Eastwood on the air and meeting his family's needs. Now, Tom and I Tom mainly. We're going to make an offer today that Vinny has never been made on any show anywhere. In fact, it's just been done. This has never been heard before anywhere. We have our new DVD series. It's only been out a matter of days. The next 4 years, 3 hours and 29 minutes. And they go together, the next 4 years, and how to survive the next 4 years, 2 hours and 50 minutes. You buy them as companion DVD set, 6 hours and 30 minutes. We've never done anything like this. They're not copywritten. Please copy them. Give them to every friend you've got. And I plead with you to give them to your pastor. We're adding to that. We, Tom in particular, would like to give you a 24-page, folks, this has never been done before. He wants to give you a 24-page transcript of the presentation that he gave, how to survive the next 4 years. It is beautiful. I just saw the beautiful cover, color cover of it. And whenever you order our next 4 years and how to survive the next 4 years, Tom would like to give you this 24-page transcript. It is a masterpiece. I've read part of it. And, of course, I had the whole transcript. Tom, say a little bit about it if you'd like to.
Sure. I basically, Chaplain, took my notes from the presentation that I made on the DVD and made it into a transcript. And then, you know, I guess, made it into a little booklet. I've added a table of contents so you can just take a look at all the subjects and all the issues that's covered in the DVD presentation. I've left room where people can take notes so you can read along. The booklet, as you're listening to the DVD, you can take notes. You can maybe pen questions there. And then there's contact information. So if you have any questions about the information that's presented, you can give an email to me, and I'll get back and do my best to answer your questions.
Okay. Well, Vinny, that's about all we've
like
got time for.
Get these items. Please jot down our numbers. You can call toll-free if you wish. 1-888-799-6111, or you can go on the web to www.prophecyclub.com, PROPHECYCLUB.com, or toll-free, 24 hours a day, 888-799-6111. And I would urge you, if you will, to go to where I'm giving sometimes daily updates and information, what you can do about Obamacare and how to be your own doctor. Visit, if you will, lindsaywilliams.net. I would invite you to, so you can get regular updates. So again, 888-799-6111, and on the web, prophecyclub.com.
Okay, Pastor, we have about 60 seconds left for you to leave us off with a prayer, if you wish.
I would consider it a privilege, and I beg of you, before you take any actions whatsoever, will you please set your spiritual house in order and know that Jesus Christ is your Savior. Our Father, in the name of your Son, who said, whatsoever you shall ask in my name, we ask that you will bless this program, that you have granted the honor of your presence to this Vinny Eastwood show, and that you will take these things and apply them to people's hearts, that first of all, they will find your Son, Jesus Christ, is their Savior, and then that they will follow in his steps, because a house, you've said in your word that a house built on a solid rock will stand, but those built on sinking sand will not. Father, greatly bless Vinny Eastwood and his wife and his family, and provide them what they need so that this program can continue. And in the name of your Son,